Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
So hi guys, my name is Jim Cruz. I've known you for a long time. It's great to be back. Want to say hello to our online fam. We are so glad that you are tuning in on a Wednesday night. There's nothing like a Wednesday night in Bakersfield, especially when the Kern County Fair is in town. All right. So, you know what? We love you guys. I know I got to hang out with the men last month at the men's retreat. How many dudes were there? How many of you guys? All right. It's great to see you guys. It was fun. More of our Thousand Oaks campus wants to come up and be with us next year. It's going to be good. And then I tried to be with you guys last month, but there was a fire and I was literally on the freeway when they shut it down. And so it was, I tried to be here to be with you guys. So they've let me know that the last Wednesday of every month, they asked if I would be with you guys. And I said, be my honor. And, we're going to kind of have a little different kind of Bible study tonight. We're here to know God, right? We're here to know God better. For some of you, you are here to know God for the first time because He loves you. He cares about you. He sees you. He knows what you're going through, and He wants to meet you right in the middle of your mess. All right? He is here tonight to turn your mess into a message. Come on, somebody. That's what He's here to do. All right? Turn to your neighbor right now, say, He's talking about you. All right. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to talk tonight about rooted. We're going to get rooted. Turn to somebody else and say, we're going to get rooted. We're going to get rooted. Because it's important to be rooted. Right now, our Florida brothers and sisters are dealing with Hurricane Ian. How many heard about Hurricane Ian? It's crazy. I mean, we don't have to deal with it. They think we're crazy for living in a state that at any given moment there could be an earthquake. But I think they're crazy because they have hurricanes every year and it just comes and devastates all kinds of stuff. So we need to pray for our Florida neighbors with Hurricane Ian. But have you ever watched these news stories with the hurricanes and the palm trees going crazy? But I've noticed something for all these hurricane stories that I've seen on the news is that the hurricane blows these palm trees and most of them, if not all of them, bend, but they never get uprooted. They really never like fall down like a regular tree. And so I started kind of geeking out on like, why does a palm tree, you know, grow like that? And especially, you know, why are they so popular around the coastal regions? And, you know, we have friends watching from the Midwest, and there's some people in the Midwest that never have seen a palm tree in real life, and we see them all over the place. And the palm tree grows this root system that hugs the soil and the dirt under it. If you ever had a palm tree that you wanted to get rid of, they're hard to get rid of. My dad had two at his house, and they were by the pool area, and so he just got tired of cleaning up after these palm trees dropping in the pool, so he wanted to take these palm trees out, but the root system was so dense around his pool that it was underneath all of his, you know, nice patio, concrete area. He was going to have to rip it all up. So he just cut those things down and made tabletops off of the palm trees because, man, they're hard. Once they're in there and once they are matured, the root system is strong. And I believe that if we pay attention to our faith, and we get rooted in our faith when the hurricanes come against our life, and they will, you're going to bend, but you're not going to break. You're going to bend, but you're not going to break. Who's that for tonight? You're going to bend, but you're not going to break. And it all has to do with your root system. And so I want to just take you through a Bible study tonight. And one of the major root systems that we got to make sure
that you are equipped with is hearing the voice of God. That God has a voice, and it's up to us to learn his voice so that we could let him lead our life. Because some of you in this room, some of you watching online, Jesus is your Savior, but he hasn't yet become your Lord. And Jesus as Savior means that he died for your sins. You're forgiven. He put all of that stuff on him when he went to the cross. And so some of you call him Savior. You're thankful that he's taken all your sin, but you've stopped short of calling him Lord. That means that he is leading your life. He is the shot caller. He is the boss. He is in charge, and you follow him wherever he tells you to go. But how can you follow somebody if you aren't hearing the directions? And so tonight, I hope that we're going to look at this subject. Some of you that are real, like your OG VBFers, I mean, you've heard this. You've heard Pastor Ron preach on this for years. So maybe this is going to be a refresher course. Others of you, maybe you're, you know, new to our church. Maybe you're part of one of our recovery programs that comes on Wednesday. Maybe this is the first time you've heard a message like this. But this is a super important part of you following Jesus, to know that God has a voice and he wants you to hear it. So I'm going to pray and we're going to get to it. Father, I thank you so much for getting us rooted tonight. I'm sure, Lord, there were probably 20 other things that we could have chosen to do tonight, but Lord, we chose to be here. Lord, I believe that there are some people, it was hard to get here tonight. It was a challenge to get here tonight. But Lord, we are here. We arrived. And I know God's showing up as half the battle. And so we're here. God, we ask that you would come and turn our mess into a message. Lord, that you would take the things that we're going through, God, and give us enlightenment, give us encouragement, give us even correction if we need it. So Holy Spirit, just be here, speak to our hearts, and change our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, all right. So this is going to be kind of weird for some of you, that we're going to go to the book of Job. And the reason I want to start at Job is because, you know, and there's some talk out there. Is Job a real character? Is this a real life event? Or is this like a poetic look about understanding suffering? There's some different ways of looking at Job. And one of the fascinating things, and that's why Job is found right there with Psalms and Proverbs, because it's poetic. But one of the things that fascinates me about the story of Job, whether you believe it was a real life experience or if it was just kind of an illustration, either way, you got to recognize Job's friends, because all of us have friends like Job's friends. Like when trials start happening in our life and dysfunctionalism starts popping its head in our life somehow, we always have that friend that they mean well, but they say things like, hey, what did you do to tick God off at you? Or like, hey, I don't think like you're doing life right, man. And I call it unsolicited advice, or for short, you could call it USA. How many of you guys have had somebody, you didn't ask their opinion or you didn't ask their advice, but you're going through something and they just are like, well, I'm just going to tell you how I think, you know, why this is happening. You're like, I didn't ask you. I just want you to be here for me right now. And I'm telling you, one of the most powerful things you can do with a friend in crisis is just be there. They don't necessarily need you to help fix them. They need you to be there to be with them. Hello, who's that for tonight? Let's be friends. But Job's friends, they couldn't help themselves. They had to say what their opinion was. But in this dialogue that the friend is having with Job, he says something that I think all of us kind of need to kind of understand, because it's some truth. It's some truth in this advice. And here it was in Job 33. It says this. It says, for God speaks again and again through people, or though people do not recognize it. For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. Here's what you need to understand about being rooted in your faith in God, that he is a voice and he is speaking. But the question tonight is, are we listening? Are we listening to his voice? I love how Jesus chimed in on this topic of hearing from God. In the Gospel of John chapter 10, he's talking to his disciples about this idea of being a shepherd and how a shepherd have sheep and the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. A lot of you know this passage. It's called the shepherd discourse from a scholarly theological standpoint, but it says this, it says, Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. And the man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because what, church? They know his voice. So the illustration is just like a shepherd leads a sheep by his voice, God leads his people by his voice, but do we recognize it? And the recognition comes with the sheep being familiar with the shepherd's voice. And that familiarness comes from spending time with the shepherd. So I think a lot of us just need to kind of park here for a second. We're frustrated because we're in a life situation and we feel like God has went radio silent on us. Like, I'm not hearing from God. Like, what's the deal? And I want to just challenge you, is are you spending time with him? Because the more time you spend with him, the more familiar you become with when it's God talking to you and when it's Taco Bell talking to you. Because how many of you, you know, we all have an inner voice, right? How many have had all kinds of conversations in your mind today that nobody heard around you? That you, I mean, some of you had full-on conversations with yourself today and nobody even knew. I mean, it was just you in your head. Some of you, you were stuck in your head today, having multiple conversations with all kinds of different, you know, parts of you. And so this is what we're talking about, that God kind of gets on the inside of us and he begins speaking to us as we spend time with him and we start discerning this is the voice of God and this is the voice of the Taco Supreme I ate last night. And this is the voice of the enemy. Because a lot of times the enemy will try to come in there and talk to us, but it's a lie. But he'll do really good and try to masquerade himself as truth. But what we need to understand is that we have relationship problems because we have communication problems. Number one reason couples that are married get divorced is communication problems. They stop talking to each other. They stop knowing how to have these dialogues with one another in a healthy way. And God wants you and me to talk with him. And God has been speaking throughout the entire Bible. If you think about the Bible is a system of books, 66 books compiled together by different authors through different parts of history. And so you got Genesis right at the very beginning of our Bibles, chapter 1. Is God speaking, and he's speaking, and things are being created. And then if you fast forward and go all the way to the end of your Bible, you land on Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of our Bibles. And it ends, guess what? With God speaking. So the Bible begins with God speaking, and it ends with God speaking, and everything in between is story after story, man and woman after man and woman, that are having an experience with God where God is trying and sometimes successfully, other times unsuccessfully communicating with his people. And if we could just lean in and learn how to hear the voice of God, let me tell you a truth. There will be a lot less headache and heartache in your life for you. Can I say that one more time? When you lean in and you start learning to hear the voice of God for your life, you will have a lot less headache and heartache in your life. So that's what Jesus is really wanting us to do. He wants to be our good shepherd. He wants to lead us, but part of him leading us is us being able to know his voice. And there's three primary ways, write these notes down. There's three primary ways that you're gonna learn the voice of God. That God uses as vehicles for you to hear him. And so write this first one down, and that is through his word. The number one way God loves to speak to us is through the written word, which we call our Bibles. So this book isn't something that we just kind of bring here for show. This book is given to us so that we might hear God speak to us. Now, when it comes to your Bibles, what we like to teach you guys here at the church is, you know, studying it, opening it every single day. We have, you know, a Bible reading plan where we have, I believe there should be cards in the back where you can get a Bible reading card. And so every day you have an assignment, right? You can read it for your daily reading. It's a chapter of the Old Testament, a chapter of the New Testament. And right now we happen to be in the book of Isaiah for the Old Testament, which is a great book. And we happen to be in the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians. So every day you get to wake up, open the book. And this is what's crazy, is if you think about the Bible, it's the only book that when you read it, it reads back to you. It does. Like, how many times have you opened your daily reading and there's a chapter that just starts speaking to you and you're like, that is for me. How can a book written hundreds and thousands of years ago can speak to you right now in 2022? Why? Because the Word of God is written so that it can speak to the Word of God, which is in you, which is the Spirit. So as you are reading this, the Word of God, which is in you, starts resonating with this and starts telling you to pay attention to specific things that are applying to your life. And I will read the same chapter maybe a week later or maybe even a year later. And I like writing in my Bible and writing little notes, and I'll come back to it and I'll get something totally different that applies to that situation that I'm dealing with right now. There's another scripture in Hebrews that talks about the Bible being like sharper than a two-edged sword that's able to really just cut in and get into the nitty-gritty in the innermost part of who you are and slice you open so that you could get healed up by God. That's what the Word of God does. But you can't expect God to speak to you if you're never opening the letter that He's already written for you. There are things and principles and just understandings that He wants to give you, but you'll never get it by this book sitting on your shelf and just getting it out on Sundays or Wednesday nights. And this is good that you're opening them up tonight, you're opening them up on Sundays, but think of how healthy it would be if you developed a daily habitual practice of opening the Bible. So we have a daily Bible reading plan so that we can all be talking to each other. You know, phone a friend, text a friend, hey, what did you get, you know, today out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Man, wasn't that good? Man, I needed to hear that. Man, I wrote it down. I'm calling, you know, my friend that I know needs to hear this verse. On Thursday mornings, I do an interactive Bible study. Some of you that are in this room, you watch it on Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. I call it the Thursday 30. We take the daily reading and we just go over it online. I normally have a co-host and we just talk about it for 30 minutes. And every time I get feedback like, whoa, I needed to hear that. That's not Pastor Jim making stuff up. I'm just giving you what the Word of God has said thousands of years ago that are applying right now. What messages, hello somebody, what messages are we missing out on by not opening this book up? But it's not just like opening it up like to read it daily, because I think that's healthy. But another way we hear God by the Word of God is there are so many topics that the Bible covers. And one of the best investments you could do for your faith is to get a good study Bible. I'm a huge fan of this Bible called the Life Application Study Bible. And it has commentary down there on the bottom just to help you. How can I apply this text to my life? But in the back, a lot of Bibles have what's called the concordance. It's got different topics. Like my Bible has it. I don't know if you guys can zoom in on that, but it's got different topics that you can look at and study and just turn right over to where that passage is that's talking about. Let's say, for example, tonight you're dealing with a marriage crisis. You're like, man, God, I need you to talk to me about my marriage. Well, if you get a good study Bible, you go over to the back and look up marriage, it's going to give you 8 scriptures. You know, I love counselors. I love therapists. But the best counselor of all is God. And if you're wanting to throw down $120 for an hour session, but you haven't even turned to the back to the concordance and found out what God has to say to your marriage, man, keep your $120 first. Go to the Bible. It may fix itself. Just God saying, this is what you need, dude. And you're like, all right, I'm going to start doing this in my marriage. Because God is not only our wonderful counselor, he's our incredible healer. And he wants to heal you of some wounds that maybe just are there in that marriage. Money, like, wow, how many of us need more wisdom with money? That, you know, the Bible talks more about money than it does heaven and hell combined. But we're getting our money cues by culture instead of by God. God wants to talk to you about your money situation. Some of you are like, God, what do I do? What do I do? Did you turn to the back of the concordance and look up some verses in the Bible? God's already said a lot of things about money and how we should be handling our money. But those are just 2 examples. And then there's this other way you can get a word from God. But man, this is scary. I call it Bible roulette. Pastor Ron's really good at this. Bible roulette is like, God, I need a word. Oh, God, I'm just going to open the Bible right now. And boom, that's my word. And Judas hung himself. Oh, not that word. What does that even mean? So that's it. You know, that's why it's dangerous. Like you probably shouldn't get a word from God that way. But I will say, just like Pastor Ron has said, it does work. It does work. You know, another thing that I've done in prayer, I felt like the Holy Spirit prompt me and give me like a scripture. You know, like Isaiah 41:10. I don't know what Isaiah 41:10 says, but I'm going to open it. Just that verse or that name of the book and chapter and verse popped in my mind. And I'm opening it and go, whoa, that's exactly what I need to hear right now. So you can be directed by the Spirit of God to a specific verse in Scripture that will minister directly to what it is that you're asking God to speak to you about. Does that make sense? So the first way and the primary way that God's going to speak to you is through his word. The second way, write this down, is through his Spirit. Through his Spirit. You know, earlier I talked about this idea of the inner voice. What you need to realize, and I've preached this before and so has Pastor Ron, what you need to realize that part of you being born again, that means you having the Spirit of the living God be put on the inside of you, that you've been possessed by the Spirit of God. And some people don't like that language, like, don't say I'm possessed. You have been possessed by the Holy Spirit. That as a believer in Jesus, as somebody that has made a decision to say, I'm following Jesus, you have asked God to fill your life with his Spirit. And so now, guess what? You have God living on the inside of you, which is the game changer. Because what happens in the moment where you get filled with the Spirit of God, that inner voice that some of you have been hearing all day, guess what? God gets to kind of hook up into that frequency. It's like he puts an amplifier in your spirit and he gets to tune it in to heaven. And now that inner voice has a new tone to it. It's a tone of life. It's a tone of love. It's a tone of hope. It's a tone of correction. It's a tone of conviction. It's a tone that is trying to lead you to the life that God has always intended you to live. That's the Spirit getting on the inside of you. And the disciples were terrified that Jesus would leave them. And this is what he tells them in the Gospel of John chapter 14 that I think is really revealing for us. It says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be where, church? He will be in you. Later on, dropping down to verse 26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So Jesus said, I'm going to leave so that you can now have me with you wherever you go, because I'm going to be tuning in the heavenly frequency inside of you so you can be guided and directed and helped and counseled from the inside. The Old Testament prophets, they saw this coming. As they spent time with God, God was revealing to them, there is going to come a time in the future where you won't have to like memorize all the law. You won't have to memorize every way that God wants you to live, because God is going to move in to the inside of who you are, and he's going to command you, and he's going to direct you, and he's going to lead you from the inside. Ezekiel said it this way, the prophet Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your stubborn hearts and give you obedient hearts. I will put my spirit in you. I will enable you to live by my laws, and you will obey my rules. Joel, another prophet, said it this way. He said, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So what will happen is you will just be living your life, and God will just start speaking to you while you're driving across town. A lot of times for me, it starts with maybe a conviction that I didn't maybe do something I should have done for my wife or for my kids. Sometimes it's a remembrance of somebody in the church, like, oh, you know, they'll just pop into my mind. I'm like, wow, I need to pray for them and I need to reach out to them, check on them. There are these little, I call them promptings and nudges that you will have throughout the day. Now, if you're not aware that the Spirit of God has plugged in the heavenly frequency, you might dismiss it and go, oh, it's just me. I'm just overthinking it. Me, I'm such an, you know, an empathizer with people. I think about people. No. What if you just like made it so much more simple than that and just chose to say, Spirit of God, you live on the inside of me. So today, whenever I have somebody that pops into my mind, I'm going to trust that it's you putting them on my mind so that I, A, will pray for them, and B, maybe even follow up with them by giving them a text or a phone call or just to check in, maybe take them, you know, and break a taco with them, you know, or something. So you have to kind of lean in to a childlike faith when it comes to these promptings and these nudges. But it's a way that God communicates with us. I've said this before, but I've been convicted over certain things that I'm eating and drinking. I've been convicted lately that I wasn't getting enough greens. And this was just hitting me. I couldn't get away. I had this overwhelming conviction, like, I need to eat more vegetables. And so I started eating more vegetables. And I'm like that. And you know, my father-in-law kind of taught me how to live my faith like this. And this is how they lived in the Bible. And this is how God wants you to live. And he's speaking to you. But a lot of you are dismissing the voice of heaven because you don't think you're worthy for God to speak to you. And I just want to talk to you right now, somebody watching online. You are worthy of God speaking to you. He sent his son to die for you. You are a person with unsurpassable worth. God loved you so much that he left heaven for you. Why would God not want to talk with the person that he loves so dearly? So you are worthy for God to talk to you. He longs to speak to you, and he is speaking to you. You just got to start listening to what God is speaking. Thank you for that. All right, you know, I love you guys, but you can give me some more feedback than that, all right? I had a bishop from East Texas come to Atmosphere, and I mean, I've never heard more amens. Come on, preacher. I mean, I want to hear more out of that. You know, when I'm preaching, I'm like, I don't know, bishop, what you did, but I need my people to be more like that when I'm preaching, because it's encouraging for the preacher, all right, when we get some feedback like that, all right? So, as we think about this idea, one of the primary ways that I've learned to tune in about through the Spirit is listen for the repetition. Listen for the repetition. What I mean by that, church, is that when God wants you to hear him, most of the time, it won't be a one-off message. If God really wants you to hear him, in some ways, it's almost like he's chasing you. I don't know how many times I've had somebody come up to me and say, yeah, I'm visiting your church. I just left, you know, my last church because I didn't like what the preacher preached about. He preached about something. And then I came to your church and you preached the same exact message. And so what's your takeaway from that? That there's two bad preachers or there's one guy that God really wants to get a hold of and has a message for? I mean, I've heard that story so many times. How many times have you come to church and whoever's speaking is speaking on the same exact thought that you had that day and had another person call you about it that day? And it's like, whoever's up here, they preach that. And you're like, man, is somebody bugging my car? Do they know? Is this preacher guy following me? Like, how do they know like what I'm going through? It's simple. We don't, but God does. And he really wants to make sure you hear him. So he's going to repeat himself. And he's going to use different methods so that you might get the message on some level, on some form for whoever it is that he's bringing into your life. I had this happen this last week. I had a dream and I was at the church in Thousand Oaks and this woman that I knew went to our church. She was there in my dream, which I thought was like interesting that I woke up and I remember this vividly, but she was really upset in the dream. And I remember asking her, I'm like, why are you so upset? What's wrong? And she goes, I'm just hurting. And so I woke up. I'd never understood like what it was that she was hurting about. But I woke up and I remembered that segment of the dream and it was bothering me. And I go, why is this woman like on my mind? And if she was hurting, so it must be God. I got busy. I forgot about it, to be honest with you. And about 5 hours later, something happened and it triggered that dream again. I was like, oh man, I've got to reach out to her. I think this is God. And then I forgot about it again. I got busy, some other calls and texts. And finally, like that night, I had another trigger and I was like, I have to reach out to her. And right there, I had to do some research and get some people to find her number. And then I reached out to her and I'm like, hey, I don't know if this means anything, but you were in this dream and you were upset. And hey, I want you to know, we love you. We're here for you. We're in your corner. Whatever it is, you need to know that God is bigger than the difficulty and we're here in your corner to give you backup. And I just stepped out. I don't know what the final result is of that, but I've lived my faith long enough when I have a thought and it keeps repeating and I keep remembering, that's God. You know, in brain science and neurology, there's a part of your brain they call the reticular activating system. It's the part of your brain that tells you what to pay attention to, like the smell, the sight, you know, any kind of hearing. It tells you, like, pay attention to this. Now, the reason we have that part of our brain, there's so much going on in this world. If you didn't have that part of your brain, it would be like sensory overload. So the brain knows how to like hone in on certain things. This is why when you go, you know, maybe you're in the market for a new car and you start, you know, researching a car and then you get on the roads and the highways and you see that car everywhere. You're like, I didn't know there are so many of these cars out there. Right now, I have a car crush with the new Ford Broncos. And how many are with me on that? I was like, yeah. I'm not the only one because they're $30,000 above sticker price right now because there's not enough of them. But guess what? Everywhere I go, I'm like, there's a Ford Bronco. There's one. Now my wife's like, you know, in the game and she's torturing me. Going, hey, did you miss that one? I go, all right. One of these days, all right, one of these days. But the reason I brought that up is because when you get saved, your reticular activating system gets sanctified. Meaning that God anoints that reticular activating system through the Holy Spirit living in you. So now the Holy Spirit's like got the control of your mind. And all of a sudden the Lord's like, hey, you need to take care of your health. And everywhere you go, it's like, boom, there's a health message. Boom, you need to do water. You need to eat more vegetables. Boom, you need to exercise more. It's like, man, it's haunting me. It's chasing me. And it's God controlling or sanctifying that reticular activating system of your mind because he wants to talk to you. He wants you to avoid diabetes in your future. He wants you to avoid maybe cancer in the future. He wants you to avoid marrying the wrong person. Hello, single somebody. He wants you to avoid a miserable situation, and he wants to talk to you about who you date so you don't end up in the arms of the wrong person that God never intended you to be with. Hello. You got to hear him. Say it with me. I got to hear his voice. So important. Third thing we want to talk about is that we hear him through other people. Through other people. I'm looking at the time. I got to land this thought. And I just got to tell you that many people that God has placed in your life are there on purpose. I call these people battle buddies sometimes. They're people that are not afraid to get in your face and call you out when maybe you're veering off course. And they'll be like, hey, this is the power of small groups or ministry teams. It's like you get to know people. If the only person in church that you know is the pastor, something's not right. If I'm the only person that you're comfortable to talk to because like I'm up here talking, that's not good. Like maybe tonight God puts you where you're at because there's somebody in that little radius of where you're sitting that God's saying, I've called you to help that person or that person around you. You're supposed to connect with them. I don't know, but I really believe that God puts people in our life on purpose. And there are people that God calls into your life that will speak directly into your life. And he'll use them as a vessel. He'll use them. In the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, they were called people that had the gift of prophecy. There are people that could come up and just read your mail, know exactly what you're going through with you never even sharing anything about their life. And I really believe in this gift. I believe that gift is still on earth today. I believe there's some folks in this church that speak directly to Pastor Ron and the leadership here that have that gift. I call it a prophetic gift. But I've grown up in a space where people that have come and said, I got a word from the Lord for you. And at first, as a young Christian, I'm like, yeah, what did God say to you for me? And they're like, this is what God said. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. But I realize that some of these people are speaking words from God that are not words from God. And so I kind of was jaded with people that kind of came up. I got a word for you, brother. I was like, well, keep that word to yourself, all right? Because I don't know if it's a word from God or the word from Taco Bell. Like, I don't know. Especially, I got really skeptical of every time I had a conversation with somebody going, I got a word for you. I'm like, every time, like, man, I wish God spoke to me about me as much as God spoke to you about me. I got a little jaded. But, you know, when it came to this decision that God was putting in front of us to call us to Thousand Oaks and to leave Las Vegas, I was just in confusion. I didn't know. The church is going great. Things were happening. Lives are being changed. People were being healed. It was just incredible. And then I just had this unrest instead of my wife. And like, I don't know. It's like, it feels like this isn't where we're going to end up at. And I didn't honestly know where we were going to end up at, but I just kind of was starting to feel like it was going to be Vegas. And I had a friend of mine call me who was walking me through this journey. And he said, I have a friend who has the gift of prophecy and he's coming up to our church and he's putting some time aside to pray over you and Tara. And I was like, I appreciate it, bro, but I've had bad experiences with that. I mean, Tara had a family member get prophesied that she would have a baby within a year, and that year came and went, she never had a baby. It devastated her faith. And for those of you that have words for people like Candy on Halloween night, you need to know that you can inflict some major trauma and spiritual damage on people from giving words out too quickly without prayerfully and carefully considering the ramifications of your word not being from God. Can you receive that tonight? It's okay to give words, but they should be given prayerfully and carefully. Well, my friend called me 3 times and insisted that I let this guy pray over me. I go, what's it gonna hurt? So I go up there and I let him pray for me. Tara couldn't make it. She's on the speakerphone. And my friend was just like, I didn't tell him anything about you other than you're married, you have three kids, and you pastor a church in Las Vegas. So he started praying over me, and he started talking about my childhood right out the gate. Nobody knew. My friend didn't know. Nobody knew about my child except my wife. And he started reading my mail. The second thing he does, he starts reading my wife's mail. She wasn't even in the room. He starts telling her about her childhood trauma and her childhood experiences. And I was like, she's crying on the phone. I'm crying in the office. And then it shifted. Then he started praying over this idea of this unrest that I was in. And he didn't really know I was even considering doing something else. But prior to this guy praying over us, this same friend of mine, he said, you came and spoke at our church, and there was somebody at our church that day that listened to the podcast, and they said that, man, that just ministered to him, and they moved to Thousand Oaks. And I told him that you were praying and considering maybe taking on a new chapter and a new assignment, and I told him you were praying and thinking about Thousand Oaks. And she said, tell him we need him down here. And I remember after he said that, I told Terry, I go, man, this reminds me of the story in Acts 16 where Paul's going to do ministry in this one town. He has a dream about this guy in Macedonia. He's like, you need to come minister here. I said, Terry, it's like there's a Macedonian call. Like somebody is praying for our style of ministry in Thousand Oaks. And that's what I said to her at that phone call. So fast forward now, I'm in the room with the prophet of God, right? And he's reading my mail, and he says, my hand has been with you in Vegas, but that's not the final place I have you doing ministry with. There's a new place I'm calling you to go, and there's a Macedonian call on your life to go to this place. I about jumped out of my skin and said, whoa. It went from, would God ever release me from Vegas to God is calling me to Thousand Oaks. And 3 months later, we had our first little interest gathering in Thousand Oaks, and now we have a church of over 1,000 people in Thousand Oaks. And it was a season of hearing God, and God used another person. But check this out. That wasn't a one-off. That was in alignment with about 12 different words that we were getting about the city Thousand Oaks. That just became the exclamation mark. So God will use other people to speak a word to you from God, but it will always be a confirmation of something God's already been speaking to you about. That's how you can discern it. Because the Bible says, test the spirits and make sure that you know they're from God. All right, so I'm out of time, but I will just tell you the two best places that you're gonna hear God the clearest, write these down, is in his presence and in your purity. Write those two words down, in his presence and in your purity. When I mean in his presence, because we know the most repeated promise in the Bible is that God is with us. But God can be with you, but the question is, are you really with God? And some of you know, you can be in the same room with somebody and say, yeah, they're with me, but you're checked out. You're checking Instagram. You're reading something. You're reading a text message. Tara caught me the other day. We were walking. We were together. We were walking. We were having a great marriage walk, and we're walking our dog, and she's talking to me. Probably something important, but a helicopter came over my head, and I'm like, oh, helicopter, you know? And I was looking at it, and she goes, and I lost you. We've been married 30 years, so she can call me out because she knows like when I've zoned out sometimes. So you can be in this room, but you can be out of this room at the same time. You could be here and not be here. You could be here and you could be thinking about the Taco Grande that you're going to be eating at Taco Bell afterwards because I keep mentioning Taco Bell. You could be here and you could be thinking about your comeback line against your spouse that you got in a fight with on the drive to church, and you're just thinking like, oh yeah, this is a good one. And you're not even here. So the question is, God is here, but are you with God? Amen. Are you with God? Because Jesus said the fruit only comes when he's with you and you're with him. It's a two-way street. It goes both ways. And what's the best way to get in his presence? Worship music. It is so good. Make room for him. I love that song. Secondly, in your purity. The church doesn't talk about this nearly as much as we should. But there's much more at risk than just destroying yourself by your sin. The sin in your life will fog up the window of you being able to see clearly where God is leading you to go. Have you ever got in your car on a cold day and the window just keeps fogging up and you can't see? That when you start being disobedient to the ways of God, it'll fog the windshield up. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In his presence and in your purity are the two biggest ways that God will speak to you the clearest. I'm out of time, but I want to just land it with this thought. Father, as we are here, as we are giving you a moment to speak to our hearts, God, I pray in this holy moment right now, God, we are here with you. We're in your presence. Speak to us. In the quietness of this moment, I just want you to think about your Heavenly Father and what he would want to say to you right now. His voice isn't loud, it's a still small voice. Prayer team, would you come up? Come on up, prayer team. They're already up here. Father, as we dismiss in your love, God, may we take the words that you just spoke to our heart, God. Write them down and hold them close to us, God. Change us. Allow us to become the men and women of God that you've called us to be on this earth. And if anybody here, you're not right with God, you haven't been filled with the Spirit, these guys up front, I want you to take some time and come up here and let these guys pray over you. And you make a decision today that Jesus isn't just gonna be your Savior, he's gonna be your Lord. You're gonna let him lead your life. You're gonna get out of the way. And that, my friends, is when everything is gonna change for your future. God, we leave this place in your love. Lord, lead us, guide us, and let us hear from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. Have a great night. The prayer team's up here. I'd love to pray for you. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.